Hello and welcome to the Shandagold Quarterly Update. Throughout this session, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question and answer session. And just to remind you, this is being recorded. So today I'm pleased to pass you over to Eric Zurin, CEO. Please begin.
Thanks very much. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for dialing into today's Q1 2019 production and operations report for Shandagold. Just to remind everyone, Shanta is the third largest gold company in Tanzania and one of the lowest cost gold producers in Africa. Today on the line with me is Luke Leslie, CFO of Shanta. Our flagship mine is the new Luweke gold mine in southwest Tanzania, which has been in production for the last 6 years. As mentioned over a number of the last few calls that we've had, we'll also be covering our Singida project, which is our second asset. And most importantly, I think, as we're starting to see more results, is the exploration potential and the mine life extension, which is becoming more and more center focus for us at Shanta. Let's kick off on slide 3 of the presentation, which is already on our website. Q1 was an excellent start to the year, which, as you can see in the results, has put us firmly on track to meet our production and cost guidance for 2019. The operations overall are on a really steady footing. They've responded very well to the initiatives that we put in place last year on cost reductions and specifically value-driven decisions for allocating capital. So we're seeing the fruits of our labor now as we start a new year. Production for the first quarter was 22,374 ounces at an all-in sustaining cost of $701. This is in comparison to our guidance, which we've reiterated, which is 80 to 84,000 ounces at 740 to 800. So we're well past 25% of the way of the year and in good shape for the full year guidance as we stand today. Cash costs, which are very attractive, were $500 an ounce for us. That led to a very healthy cash margin and cash flow generation. The balance sheet remains in good shape. We had $8.4 million of cash on balance sheet at the end of March. We'll talk a bit more about the liquidity and the bullion that we also had in store, giving us, I think, just over $13 million of liquidity as we ended the quarter. This was all despite, as I said just a minute ago, gold bullion inventory increasing. Overall, we had a good quarter in terms of safety, zero LTIs, and I think we're now well over 5 quarters without an LTI, so very pleased with that. Turning on to slide 4 of the presentation, as already mentioned, Q1 was strong, and it led to continued deleveraging, which I'll cover in a few minutes. During the quarter, I want to flag 3 important initiatives that were achieved and are highlighted on this page. First off, our plant continued to perform very well. We've now set a new average daily throughput record for the quarter, which is 1,915 tons per day. And going forward, having done this now for 6 months, I think 1,900 tons per day is a sustainable level to use in the forecast. Second point to cover on this page is the fact that first development ore from Ilunga, which is our underground deposit we've just reached ore on, was done so in early March, 3 months ahead of schedule at what are looking to be very nice grades, 6 grams per ton so far. This was all done with an 100% owner-managed team and gives us more flexibility in terms of our operations with a third underground source of ore. Now, finally, the third point on this page just to cover specifically is the proposed listing of the Singida Resources subsidiary, IPO, on the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange. As mentioned in the RNS at the time, we've visited investors across East Africa and have had very good response initially to proceeding with this. So our confidence is building, and I'll give you an update on where we are with that process shortly. On to slide 5. Just to give you a quick snapshot of where we are with our mining, we've now, as I said, we have active high-grade ore headings across 3 underground mines. This is important because it gives us significantly more flexibility and reduces our operational risk. So it's nothing more than giving us downside protection in terms of operations. It's good overall. During the quarter, we had positive reserve grade reconciliation from the underground mining. This was a welcomed bonus for us in the quarter and was helpful in getting the ounces we did in terms of our production. Development at BC and Ilunga is on track. It gives us comfortable headroom to ensure we're on pace to meet our 2019 production target of 80 to 84,000 ounces. During the quarter, we mined 137,000 ounces of ore, grading 5.7 grams from underground, and we blended that with about 36,000 tons of our open pit stockpiles to produce or to process 173,000 tons of ore. In Q4, finally, a couple months ago, we did this trade-off study comparing throughput and recoveries, and what we found there was the benefit was about 2-to-1 in favor of throughput, which goes a long way to explaining why our recoveries are slightly lower at 90%, which we're, we expected and we're fine with. Moving on to slide six, just to cover the balance sheet, net debt was down during the quarter to $30 million overall. This was despite bullion inventory increasing during the quarter because of a timing difference with shipments and sales at the end of March. Overall, to put this in perspective, net debt to EBITDA is now at 0.6 times, which is comfortably, which is in the realm of being comfortable in terms of a balance sheet management position. When you add in the working capital line and our bullion that we had in inventory, total liquidity is at $13.4 million. Again, which gives us a lot of comfort in terms of meeting our obligations for the balance of 2019 debt repayments. We've publicly now said we would be in a net cash position by mid-2020. Specifically, this excludes, so does not include, any benefit from a VAT refund or any VAT, any reduction in VAT expenses for each month. So we're not including any VAT benefit in that target, which would obviously, if we did have a VAT refund, accelerate that target to a sooner period. One of the reasons we believe we can get to that net cash position specifically is we will see the development capital curtail by the end of 2019 at Bahenia Creek, and we will also see interest expense dropping again as the debt numbers go down, so we're comfortable with those targets. Moving on to slide seven, which illustrates the pace at which the balance sheet is deleveraging. We specifically announced the convertible loan note repayment earlier this month, and that's now with computer share getting processed to be paid, I think in about 3 weeks in mid-May, so that's all well on track. On to slide eight. The upside here, again, as I mentioned at the start of the call, for shareholders remains on the ability for Shanta to convert ounces into our mine plan, without a doubt. Having now the operations on a steady footing, balance sheet improving, which it's all about for us, mine life extension and exploration. So that's pretty exciting. We believe there's three large buckets in terms of exploration and development value for shareholders, the first one being within our mining licenses, where we have the highest priority targets, two within our regional footprint across the Lupa Goldfields, and then three, obviously, not to be in that order specifically, but Singida, which is our second development project in central Tanzania. On to slide nine, just to cover that first point, around what we have, what we're doing on our mining licenses. This is a 30 square kilometer area, four by seven and a bit. And today in our RNS, we've announced drilling below our reserves at Bahenia Creek, which started in mid-March as an intersected high-grade mineralization. So this is exactly what we wanted to see. We'll be providing the specific assays out soon when they're ready. But the program was modest, three holes, and very targeted. The thesis here is that the mineralization extends below the reserves, which is what we're seeing, and that the decline will be pushed down to increase the mine life. It's kind of as simple as that. The benefit to shareholders is that we'll see free cash flow because all of the infrastructure capital is already in place. So it's a pretty simple story. The question is, can we prove that the ounces are there? So far, we're seeing indications that that might be the case. In terms of slide 10, just to give you a recap of what we've been up to in terms of our kind of greater footprint around the Lupa Goldfields, now, to give you a feel for this, this is the size of the area inside the M25 in Greater London. So it's a big area. And what we did a number of months ago is we engaged SRK and Tekt Consulting, which is the South African structural geologist consultant, to help fast-track some of our drill planning and review some of our best targets. And so we're pleased with the outcomes of that, and we'll be publishing an exploration update and strategy shortly to set out our priorities and explain the opportunity of this land package. So overall, exciting to think forward in terms of that potential. On to slide 11, this is Singida. This is our second project in central Tanzania. I won't go over the details again of the economics, but suffice to say it's a potentially large source of value for shareholders of Shanta Gold without any equity dilution at the top co. So we won't be raising equity for this. So the proposed listing for Singida has been announced that we are proposing to list it on the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange. That is after a lot of non-deal roadshow marketing in East Africa, a lot of preparation work. And we've recently had feedback now from the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange on the prospectus, which we're processing. And we're awaiting comments now from the regulator, the CMSA. So that's on track, moving ahead. Anecdotally, since we've announced the Singida IPO, we've had inbound calls from East African investors and one from Rwanda, as an example, just yesterday, looking to potentially participate. So it's all pretty exciting in East Africa. On to page 12, just to set out the priorities for this year. You could probably guess these if you had to come up with them, but the first one being operational excellence. We want to deliver our guidance of 80 to 84,000 ounces, and we're well on route to do that. Exploration, as I mentioned, has to be one of them. It is so important for us in terms of shareholder value to unlock more ounces into a mine plan. We're going to continue to repair the balance sheet. We're well on the way there now, and in 12 months we'll be in a net cash position. And then finally, the situation in Tanzania, just to give you a quick update on that, the VAT receivable increased during the quarter, as it naturally would. We've had good meetings. We met with the Commissioner for Large Taxpayers last week in Dar es Salaam. We spent a number of hours with him. And he gave us his program and timetable for for how he sees VAT possibly being repaid. And we, suffice to say, we don't want to commit to anything, but we're pretty excited by what we heard. So we'll wait to see before we give any specific guidance on that. In terms of Tanzania as it is, we see a lot of activity on the ground. We're not inside the tent in any way in terms of what's happening with our colleagues at Takesha, but we're hopeful that there'll be a resolution sooner than later on that front. In terms of catalysts, on page 13, we things to look forward to. Talked a lot about these already. We've already mentioned the $5 million convertible loan note repayment that's been processed now by ComputerShare. Q2 2019, as I said, we'll put an exploration update out and give the market a bit more clarity and perspective on the opportunity in the Lupa Goldfields. The drilling results at Bihine Creek Central, those will be out soon. The question is, does the mine life extend or not? So far, we're seeing good mineralization, so we believe that's headed in the right direction. Deleveraging will continue. We'll see more balance sheet repair and deleveraging coming down at the end of June. And then we'll be doing more exploration across our portfolio of licenses. This follows a lot of desktop work with these consultants, so it's all pretty exciting. And with that, I'll end my portion of the call and hand it back to the operator for any questions.
Thank you. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now to ask a question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak or want to retract that question, just press 0 and then 2 on your phone keypad. And there'll be a brief pause while the questions are being registered. Our first question is over to the line of Justin Chan at Numis Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, Eric and Luke. Thanks very much for hosting the call. Just my first question is on your all-in sustaining costs. They're below the full-year range. I was just wondering how much of that is operating costs, how much of that is sustaining costs or sustaining CapEx relative to where you thought you'd be. And I guess looking forward, to the extent that it's because operating costs are lower, how much of that is sustainable? And just looking at guidance, is that fairly conservative at this point, given what you've done so far?
Yeah, thanks, Justin. I'll cover that, and they can come in if there's anything I've missed. What I'd say is Q1 was better than we expected, and it came down largely to throughput being higher and grades being better from the mining. We were in a pretty sweet area of Bohemian Creek, and production was up for effectively the same amount of tons. So we saw the benefit directly on all-in sustaining costs. I think it's at the moment now. I mean, we've had a really good start against guidance. It's just too early now to kind of see where this would go in terms of the full year. But you know what I can say is if the grades kind of go back to where we think they would be, you know, which is not as good as they were in Q1. We'd be kind of inside our guidance is probably where we would end up. In terms of the actual cost, there was nothing unusual about the cost in the quarter. It really did benefit from more ounces than we expected. Kind of as simple as that.
Right, and I suppose just back-calculating on my end, the cost per ton were lower, and that's primarily a function of grade.
It was.
Okay. No, that's very good. And just on exploration, I guess when do you expect to be sort of drilling for resource expansion versus proving up ounces? Do you see at some point like a heavy plan to build out a bigger inferred base? And just can you touch on the trenching you're doing, what you're seeing there, and what we should be looking at in terms of, I guess, future resources there?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I think it's kind of long overdue in terms of the exploration. What I can say is this: we've spent a lot of time, over the last 4 or 5 months on desktop work, on kind of surface work in the field, working with SRK, working with tech, re-looking at data imagery, trying to look at the exploration plan in so many different ways to give us as much comfort before we actually start drilling again. Mm-hmm. What we've done now is we've actually drafted a 9,000-meter plan. So we've got all of our targets ready. The drill plan is kind of it's getting pretty baked, and we'll be discussing that with the board in the coming weeks. And then kind of subject to financing is to kind of be targeting that systematically over the balance of the year. Now, I'm not committing to anything right now because it isn't board approved, but suffice to say we've done a lot of work on the desktop basis to both focus on resource expansion and reserve conversion.
Okay, thanks. And just my last one before I free the line for other people is just could on the sort of the bridge between EBITDA at 11.4 and net cash increasing by 1.2, so there's working cap of $2.5 million that increased, CapEx of $4 million. I'm just wondering if there are any other items that are worth noting, perhaps taxes and interest.
I might ask Luke to take us through any details if it's available. Otherwise, we can follow up with more detail after the call.
Sure.
But Luke, did you want to cover that now or separately after the call?
I think, Justin, you've got the main items there, and if you don't mind, after the call, I'll give you the full breakdown.
Sure, that'd be very helpful. Okay, thanks very much. I'll free the line for other people now. Thanks again, guys.
Okay, currently there are no questions in the queue. Once again, if anyone has a question, please press 0 and then 1 to enter the queue. And Justin, if you have any follow-up questions, of course, just press 0 and then 1 again. And we will go to the line of Charles Fitzwright at Arden Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, Eric and Luke. I wanted to ask if you could sort of go into more depth regarding the strategy to move to a higher throughput model away from focusing on recoveries.
Yeah, it's a good question, Charlie. What we saw, Charlie, effectively was, you know, this goes back about 6 months ago, there was a buildup of about 160,000 tons of ore on the stockpile. Which working capital at the time, I think it was about $8 million of gold contained. And we effectively ran the numbers to see kind of where the inflection point was in terms of putting that through the plant versus holding it back and maintaining slightly higher recoveries. And it was about 2-to-1. So twice as better to be putting more throughput through and sacrificing some recovery. And that was effectively, that was on the basis of the stockpile ore because it was already paid for. So that kind of justified for us that decision.
Okay. So I know you, obviously from the site visit from end of 2017, you mentioned you're putting in a third tank to help with recoveries. Has that added anything with this sort of new strategy, or was it, very little effect?
Well, it was interesting. So the tank was commissioned, if I can remember correctly, in, I think it was early September, and we did see a step up in September from the recoveries. I believe it was about 1 to 1.25% initially. It was pretty instant as the residence time increased. And then at the start of October, we took that strategic decision to increase throughput. So it was... we didn't have much of a track record to kind of isolate that change and to test the change in recoveries. But what we can say is the residence time has increased, and we've seen the benefit of that capital program, which has now been slightly eroded by higher throughput. But overall, as I said, we think we're better off by 2-to-1 in terms of throughput versus recovery.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, we are now over to the line of Laddie Beck at Redmayne Bentley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Eric. Thank you for giving us an update on the first quarter result. Just one question. You mentioned that you'd had a series of discussions with the Tanzanian authorities on VAT refunds, and you were excited or optimistic about it. Can you say any more than that? Because obviously if you've had several hours of discussions, you must have come to some conclusion. I don't know about timing or amount refunded, but do you have any further things to say on that?
Yeah, I mean, what I can say, Laddie, is this. The government's engaging with us. They're listening. They're certainly hearing, they're hearing us, and they're willing to meet and talk through kind of a plan. Now, I can't say too much. They're kind of they're non-committal, but they're showing us the right signs in kind of trying to complete the this final audit that they've set out and engaging in terms of the timetable. So, as I said earlier, I really do believe that a resolution, you know, in country would help kind of break the ice in terms of VAT. And you know, and we've heard it before, and we heard it again recently that, you know, there are different tiers of companies, you know, the ones that are in kind of the better condition and the better the eyes of the government in better shape are more likely to get a VAT refund sooner than those who aren't. Government will differentiate.
All right. Thank you very much for your help.
Okay, before going back to Justin Chan at Numis Securities, if anyone else has any final questions, please do press 0 and then 1 now. And Justin, back to you. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. I played fair. Just one last one on the Singida IPO. Could you just give us a sense of, I presume these are mostly high net worth in the region. Could you just give us some color on what that process looks like? Because I think from a London perspective, it's somewhat of a, it's kind of a, not something we have a lot of background knowledge about.
Yeah, no, fair enough. In terms of the process, I must admit it's slow. You know, we set out a target of 6 to 12 months to complete this. It's very similar to IPOs I've done in the past. So we've submitted our draft prospectus to the regulator. We have a sponsoring broker, a Nomad in country. They're named as Arch Capital. The prospectus gets reviewed by the regulator and the stock exchange. We've now had comments back from the stock exchange. The regulator is going through it. They've asked for independent engineers to kind of assess our plans. So we're doing that work. And it feels very similar to what you would expect in kind of a Western market. So it's not too dissimilar in that regard. I think the timetable is probably less predictable, which is why we've given ourselves 6 to 12 months to complete it.
Right, and the participating subscribers, are they primarily in Tanzania? I realize you may not know exactly who they are at this point, but the people being targeted, is it Tanzania, South Africa, is it just Africa-wide? And I guess, do the development banks participate?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Justin. So Luke and I went to see a number of these groups last year, and what we found, so I'll give you the color. I mean, the Workers' Compensation Fund in Tanzania, or the NSSF, the Social Security Fund, or some of the pension funds, you know, these groups all have capital, and where they typically have invested this capital has been in real estate. So their investment mandate is East African, ideally linked to U.S. dollar kind of investments, backed by teams with track record or hard assets. And specifically, the groups in Tanzania have to invest in Tanzania. So they're a bit short on opportunity, and they've been largely investing in property, you know, historically. As an example, we went over to Zanzibar to see the Republic of Zanzibar Pension Fund, who, as you might guess, they don't get very many visitors. But they were very excited by the prospect of Singida. They knew all about Shanta. Shanta's been in country for 15 years, and it seems something that would strike very well with them. Now, we don't know until we go and ask specifically, but, you know, it was a good visit. We spent time in Uganda, seen some of the similar groups. We spent time in Kenya, seen a handful of groups there in terms of pension funds, banks. And I've just, as I said on the call, I've just had a couple inbounds. I mean, one yesterday from Rwanda, looking for East African investments. So, you know, there is a market out there. It's not what you or I would probably think of in terms of the first place to look for capital, but it certainly exists, and there's actual capital there to be deployed. So it gives us some confidence in tapping into that.
Wow, yeah, that sounds really interesting, and thanks very much for that. It's definitely color into a capital market that I don't think a lot of us on the call had much knowledge of. That's it for me. Thanks very much. Really appreciate the color on that.
Thanks, Justin.
Okay, so that is in fact it for this quarter's update. Mr. Zirin, do you want to give any final words, closing comments?
Thank you everyone for your support. Look forward to the balance of the year and continuing with the plan at Chanta. So with that, I'll hand it back to the operator.
This now concludes the call. Thank you all very much for attending, and you can now disconnect your lines.